local media has an agenda that they're going to serve. I don't know who's in charge of it or what it is, if it's like a headless monster.
You know, I was pretty happy with that one at Gerbil's the other night.
Oh, yeah.
Honestly, yeah. That was a good pizza.
Yeah.
Fat wallets and empty hearts.
Which... Fat wallets and empty hearts.
It's insane how little musicians get. So, yeah, if you're interested in supporting not just me, but any musician that you like, one of the best ways to do that, it sounds old school because it is purchase their music, purchase their merch, you know.
Hey guys, this is Mark from Rat Rod.
Hi, this is Mikey P from Skell.
Hey, this is Jeff from the Bell Jumpers.
Probably
Paul,
because he's awesome.
This is Jessica for the band Dimitris. You're listening to Pennsylvania Rock Show.
We'll be right back.
What's up, everyone? My name is Bill. You're tuned in to the Pennsylvania Rock Show, episode number 712. We're coming at you live on all the places, as my next guest has mentioned. we're coming to you on music from the 412.com out of Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, xrpradio.co.uk out of Scotland, Glasgow, Scotland, up there in the Highlands. We're also broadcasting from Mega Rock Radio and 107.1 KFGD, St. Louis, Missouri. Rudaroo Radio in Ocean Beach, San Diego, and Stephenville, Texas. And no more Bill DeSene on that list because Bill DeSene and Music from the 412 have merged. You can listen to the same station on either website. But that's a story for a different time. At the top of the show, we heard a brand new track from a band from Finland. Why? Because I make the rules and I can pick what I want. it is brand new. It's called High Octane Baptism. The band is Kilburn, and I heard them for the first time on XRP Radio. Very cool band. Every once in a while, you will see me bring in somebody from their playlist. It's worth the listen. Go check them out if you missed it. After that, we got Dead Man and their song Damned, Doomed, and Cursed. And then the third track we heard was De Gregorio, Black Widow, featuring Seethe. And we'll get into that feature thing later, too. My guest tonight is Susie.
Hey, Bill. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm good.
Did you see the part of the video I was referring to?
I did. I was there.
Yes. She was right beside me while Patrick, who is in Seethe, but that was Nine Stitch Method in the video.
Wait, that was that was even at my fencing school too.
So it was.
So it was my fault.
Yes.
It's all my fault. Blame the Irish chick. It's all my fault.
So Black Widow, I listened to it, and this is probably going to seem like a weird comment, but it reminds me of the Immigrant Song. See?
Led Zeppelin. All right.
Yeah.
I'm not going to argue with anybody who tells me I sound like Led Zeppelin.
I mean, and I can't explain why it does, but it does. And I told a mutual friend that, and she's like, yeah, I can hear that.
That's funny. So I do love Zeppelin. Like, we all love Zeppelin, right? But I can't say that I'm like a huge, like, it, I can't say that it's always on my playlist. So I listen to Zeppelin, mostly the more popular songs. I'm not one of the ones that goes into all of the other songs. Although my cousins in Ohio are probably ready to disown me now because they're like, no, Zeppelin. So I don't listen to a ton of Zeppelin, but still, Zeppelin is awesome. And I'm not gonna say no to that ever.
The last music I had from you, you were not singing on.
I was not.
And so I
this segment is going to get me in so much trouble. It's just, it just is, but continue, because I already know where this is going.
Well, I mean, I hesitate to say this out loud, but if I remember, you weren't real happy with how it went.
I believe my exact words were, the vocal track sounded like she was face down drunk in a coat closet. If I recall correctly, those were my words.
I was trying to be nice.
Well, if you would have heard me in the studio, that was nice. So here's the thing. The first album, I was House of Gregory, Chapter One. I was actually very happy with her with the singer's vocals for that one. I actually had no problem, no beef whatsoever. I don't know what happened between the first album and the second album. And just remember, you heard it here first. I don't know what happened between the first album and the second album, but the tracks that she sent for the second album, we spent so much time trying to EQ in the studio that I actually got comments from some friends of mine, Seath, actually, who was featured on the song Black Widow, and who was featured in the opening segment.
Yes.
He actually said to me at one point, "I'm surprised you cut all of your guitar." Yeah, it's well, you know, we're just gonna, Seath is here in spirit, so we're just going to include him with every bit of the show.
Well, see, here's the reason. I asked him to be the guest on the next Three Questions in a Song, so I saw it as a way to segue and point out that everybody should listen to Three Questions in a Song on the 15th. See?
There we go. There we go. You can hear the other half of Black Widow. So I ended up cutting, we ended up EQing so much that we cut a lot of the guitar out. The guitar in House of Gregory Part 2 was actually very, it was very dense. It was very thick. It was very rich. But when you listen to House Gregory 2, we had to EQ so much of the guitar to try and fit the vocals in. Ooh, I just banged my mic. That's the problem with being half Italian while you're trying to talk and there's a microphone in front of you, see? but we had to cut so much of the EQ that it just didn't work. And I was like, well, I can sound drunk face down in a coat closet. I don't have to pay extra for that. But I will say this, after all of that complaining, I will say the singer actually did save my butt on the first album. Like, there was so much, I think you even remember the stories of how incredibly possessed House of Gregory Chapter One was. But she did save my neck because I had gone through typical symphonic metal band, right? I went through like as many singers as I had songs before I even got the vocal tracks recorded. Right. So yeah, but saved my butt on the first album, loved her work on the first album, was super stoked to work with her on the second album. And then I have no idea what happened. So, at that point, I had already done my own vocals on Black and White, but I had done the vocals on Black and White for a different reason. That was the album I released after my dad died. And so that was a much more personal EP. It wasn't a full album. It was an EP, but it was a much more personal concept than, you know, Haunted Mansion's heavy metal Scooby-Doo. So
now you've done it. I have to ask you the Scooby-Doo question.
Fire away.
I'm going to do it right now because you brought it up.
I am.
It's Christina Santavica from the Shadow Event.
Right.
She asked this question one time, and it's if they're going to make a cartoon based on your band, mm-hmm. kind of like Scooby-Doo brings in bands.
Right.
What type of character are they going to create for you, and who might be voicing it?
Oh, wow. I mean, I would be, I'm going to have to say it. I would be Scooby-Doo. I can't do the voice though. I'm not that talented, but I would be the goofy, stupid dog. That's just where I'm at in life. Who would voice it? Casey Kasem has to. I mean, he does all the voices. Is he still alive? Is he still alive? Casey Kasem has to do the voice, right? Classic. We're just going to go classic.
I don't think he is still alive. See, this is another reason that I should ask the DeLorean question first, so the DeLorean's there for the rest of the show.
Right.
Let's go.
Actually, there is a hidden track on the very end of House 2. And if you have any doubts about me being serious, in quotes, serious about it being heavy metal Scooby-Doo, listen to the hidden track at the end.
I don't think I have the whole album.
I will send you the whole album.
Okay. I have all of the new one, but honestly, I haven't listened to all of it yet.
Oh, that's fine. I don't think my bassist has listened to it all yet.
Well, I think it's a little different than me not listening to it.
Well, yeah, but I love to rag the bassist because, I mean, he's a bassist. That's what I do.
All right. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to listen to a Common Crown song, Cry. And we'll be right back here on the Pennsylvania Rock Show.
Bring
Great cadence I had there.
Great cadence. Yes.
That pause before "Don't Panic." Someone probably thinks I was telling her not to panic. That's the band name.
42.
I may have thrown myself off clearing my throat.
Yeah.
All right. So we're going to do like an MTV VH1 thing here real quick. Where you get to tell
myself in even more trouble. Yes.
Where you tell me what Black Widow is about.
Oh, what is Black Widow about? That's really So I don't know if you've listened to the rest of the album. You said you haven't listened to all of it, but if you've listened to some of it, Black Widow doesn't quite fit sonically. It doesn't fit like musically. It doesn't quite fit with the rest of the album, but thematically it did. I actually wrote the song years and years ago, many, many moons ago, and it was originally written about a specific individual that was, well, mildly toxic and somewhat narcissistic. and I found over the last couple of years, lots of interesting things have happened over the last couple of years, and interesting is probably the wrong word, but it ended up being interesting. My dad died in beginning of 21. My mom died at the beginning of 23. The family dog died like right smack dab in the middle of them. And through all of that, of course, my dad died right kind of like still at the beginning of COVID, at the beginning of 21. So there was a lot going on. And I discovered kind of through that process that there were a lot of people in my life that really didn't need to be in my life anymore. And Black Widow was kind of, it's one of those things. It's, when I wrote Black and White, or when I released Black and White, I released it because my dad had just died. And it kept coming up. Like, it was a 20-year-old album that I had written, but it kept resurfacing in my playlist when I would get in the car and I'd plug it in, and all of a sudden Black and White would play. And I'd be like, okay, clearly there's a sign here, right? The same thing kind of happened with Black Widow. Like, this old ancient demo version that I recorded just kept surfacing with all of these people that did not need to be in my life anymore. And I was like, oh, okay. So I had actually had all six of the songs for the album written, and it was a last minute thing. I'm like, you know what? Black Widow keeps popping up on the playlist. I'm going to put Black Widow on it. And I sent it to my keyboardist, Bob. I'm like, hey, Bob, I decided to add a seventh song to the album. Your keyboard parts need to sound like a spider.
Okay.
And Bob sent me back a message with about 63 question marks. And I was like, yeah, it needs to sound like a spider, Bob. And then Bob messaged me back and said, what does a spider sound like? I'm like, I don't know, Bob. You're the keyboardist. So, and I'll tell you, the stuff that Bob put in there, it sounds like a spider. So good job, Bob. Good job, Bob. So that's it. That was it was originally about a toxic person many, many moons in my past. And just kind of kept resurfacing around all these other toxic people. And it's funny because you talk to any of my friends who have heard the song, and each one of them has a different person that they think it is. I'm like, well, I mean, you're all right. And also, you're all wrong. So... So that was it. That's the story behind Black Widow.
Talking about continuously coming up over and over and over again, Dave Grohl pops up in my YouTube playlist. Like, no matter what I search, I searched how to fix my wife's car, and there's Dave Grohl over there waiting for his turn. So I've turned that into this question that I've been asking for years, hoping that Dave Grohl will find out and want to be on the show. But all he's done is ignore me.
Yes, very rude of him, by the way. He talks to be the nice guy.
I know, he talks to everybody but me. I don't get it.
That's just so rude. That's so wrong.
But the question is, who's your Dave Grohl? And by that, I mean, who do you want to go up on stage with and perform one of their songs? Because, you know, Dave and the Foo Fighters bring people up on stage with them all the time.
Wow. There are so many. I mean, if we're sticking in the rock genre, I mean, I'm a huge Tarja fan. Everyone knows I'm a huge Tarja fan. If I got the opportunity to jump up on stage with her and show her how well I do not sing, I would absolutely do that. if we're going into if we're going into jazz, I don't know that singing would be it, but I would love to trade some guitar licks with Larry Carlton. Unfortunately, she can't play anymore because she had a nerve issue with her hands that affects her guitar playing. But I would have loved to do a classical duet with Leona Boyd or Charo. Charo's still alive and playing. I mean, she's like 863 years old, but she's still alive and playing. and she's an amazing guitarist still to this day. But yeah, I would have loved to get up on stage with Leona Boyd back when she could play, because she was actually, Leona Boyd was so instrumental in my guitar playing, actually. Charo, of course, is the reason I play guitar. I was five or six, and I saw the Carol Burnett Show. Charo was on the Carol Burnett Show. So I immediately ran over to my dad's classical guitar and tried to play it. So I've been playing since I was six because of Charo, but when I hit those awkward teenage years, you know, the guys had, you know, we were talking about Led Zeppelin earlier. The guys had, you know, they had Led Zeppelin, and they had Yngwie Malmsteen was coming around at that point. And, you know, they had all of these, you know, Eric Clapton and Pete Townsend and all these great guitarists. The guys had all these great guitarists. I had Joan Jett. I had Chrissy Hynde. Which is great if you want to play four chords or three chords or sometimes even less than that, which I did not want to do. I then discovered Emily Remler, who, of course, is an amazing jazz guitarist, and Leona Boyd, because I was just walking through NRM. Do you remember those kids? I was walking through NRM.
National Record Mart. They don't even know what a record is.
I know, right? So I was walking through NRM going... So I just kind of wandered back into the instrumental section, and I started flipping, and I saw these two girls on cassettes. I think my first purchases were cassettes, actually. And I was like, chicks playing guitar. And I took them home and I popped them in right away. And I'm like, oh, wow, they're actually really good. You know, this isn't a song that I listen to once and I can already play it. This is good. So, Leona Boyd, of course, was one of those guitarists. Sadly, when I was growing up, I had to go outside the rock world to get that. But it was it got me into classical. It got me into jazz. And it got me into the flaming train wreck that is my music today.
Now, you were actually trained in jazz, correct?
I was trained classically, too. I actually was trained classically first. When I decided to take guitar much more seriously when I was around 14-15, I actually started classical lessons, and I played classical up until I was in my early 20s, and then I studied with the now assistant dean of the guitar department, Mark Cook at Duquesne, and I studied with him for years. Poor guy. I feel so sorry for him. So yeah, I was classically trained and jazz trained.
All right, so we're going to take another short break, and we're going to come back with Susie to do our third segment of the night. And we're going to now listen to Villainous Shot for Shot.
Mostly spent on the run. He left a shot for shot.
And we were back, and my screen has changed on me again. Bear with me for a moment.
I see that.
There it is.
There we go. I was all discombobulated for a minute.
So that was Villainous Shot for Shot. And if you are tuned in on the radio side and you want to know who won the tickets earlier, Sandra Christner won tickets, just in case you missed that portion of the show about 20 minutes ago, to go see Punchline, Don't Panic, and Have Mercy at Preserving this Saturday. Funny story, the original guitarist from Punchline worked for me in Kittyland at Kennywood.
Oh, that's so typical. Yeah. So typical.
Paul Menotiades, who has been in various bands since then, but I remember he'd come in and like, Bill, I forgot I have a show today. Like, ugh. And so I had to find a way to get him out so he could go play guitar.
Right. Yeah, that's always the guitarist. Always the guitarist.
Next, this is slowly becoming like the second official Bill DeSene question. The first one is Dave Grohl. Second one is this one. I need you to tell me about the best pizza you've ever had because you're a musician. So you have to link it to being a guitar player somehow.
Wow.
Recording session, to or from a gig, at a gig.
Wow.
Trying to get a singer, whatever.
right. Also, not a secret, I'm a huge New York pizza fan. And there is, what's it called? I'm going to forget what it's called. Vincenzo's? It's down off of 6th. In Lower Manhattan, it's down off of 6th. It's actually off the L train, I believe, or the 6 train, one of the two. Lombardi's. That's the one. Best pizza in New York. Best pizza anywhere. I don't know if it's still around though. Lots of stuff has been closing in New York, but
everywhere.
Right. I was actually with my roommate because my roommate moved to. She wanted to move to New York to get her music career going back in the day. This was actually before the turn. I'm going to carbon date myself before the turn of last century. Right. It was before it was 1999. So it was before the turn of the century as I carbon date myself. And we were meeting somebody she was interviewing for her band. I already knew better because I was like, you're not going to get anything going in New York. But I was along for the ride and I was playing on all of her stuff. I was helping her record, doing all that stuff. So she's interviewing this guy for the band. Now this guy puts his ad out in the papers, in the city paper and a couple others, that he's got major label interest and all the stuff makes his stuff sound great, right? So we meet this going to be a little bit rude. Fat, middle-aged, bald, sweating guy.
I wasn't there.
No, it wasn't you. I like you. I would never say that about you. But, you know, this guy comes in and when he said major label interest, what he meant was he had major label interest. Not that they had
an interest in him. Yeah.
They were not interested in him. He was interested in them. And I'm like, I really like pizza. and it was everything. It was one of the two times I felt so sorry for my roommate, Nicole. I felt so sorry for her that day because it was one of the two times that I just could not stop laughing. there were a couple of times that stuff happened to her and I'm like, oh my God, I couldn't have written this if I tried. This is too funny. But this guy was so unkempt, we'll use that word, that he had these. Do you remember the really, really old cheap headphones with the crappy foam on them.
Yes, and they're real thin metal.
Yes. It was,
yes. I had lots of those.
He had those, and he would listen, you know, he would cue up his song, and he would take his headphones off, and he'd hand them to Nicole. He's like, here, listen to this. And she was just like, nope. I brought my own headphones. Thanks.
So we're getting close to that cutoff mark that I gave you. And I was on your website today. And at one point I did your website, but this is way cooler than what I did. So I'm going to share it. I don't say that very often. So pay attention.
Oh,
this is really, really cool. You see the little spotlight. Yeah. I love that.
Yeah.
So now I need to know who did this. Was it you?
It was not me. I will have to look it up because it was a random guy that I found on Fiverr. And well, he did.
Congratulations, random guy. This is awesome.
Yeah, it was. I loved what he did. And we're actually, I've been talking to him. We're going to do some tweaks. Because we're gonna add some stuff to the Loveless Ruminations page, because right now it's just kind of static. So we're gonna add some stuff to the Loveless Ruminations, which, by the way, is the name of the album that Black Widow is on. Should you decide you want to, you know, do something like, I don't know, go to Bandcamp, to dgregorio.bandcamp.com, and pick that up. But
and just scrolling through your lyrics.
Yeah, so that was actually the pregame for Loveless Ruminations, but we're actually going to tweak that a little bit and make it a little bit more interesting. Funny story about the website. I was on with my host, my web host, and I was like, "Hey, you know, there are a bunch of old sites in here that I'd like to clear out and delete. And here is the very specific list of the websites that I want to have deleted." Deleted all of them, including DeGregorio Music. And I had to go back to them because I didn't realize it until I tried to go into the press kit, which still doesn't work. I have to get it fixed, but tried to go into the press kit and it just kept giving me a 404. And I'm like, y'all deleted my database. So they eventually got it back. Everything else was working. I do have to fix the press kit, though, which is fine because I hate press kits and hate having to do them. So,
all right. So we're at like the 1 minute mark. So I'm going to ask you two quick questions.
Okay.
The first one, we just visited one of them, but where would you like them to go find your music besides your website, which is still on the screen below you? Usually it's below me. I moved me. Hold on. There, right, below me.
Below me.
Right there. Right now there. Now it's below Susie again.
Yeah. Bandcamp. I'm sorry, dgregorio.bandcamp.com. dgregorio.bandcamp.com. I have not yet actually put Loveless Ruminations on any of the major streaming platforms. So I'm actually kind of deciding whether or not I want to do that with all the Spotify changes that they've been doing. So we might just leave this one as Bandcamp only. I don't know yet.
Okay. And the other thing is, what's coming up next for you?
Oh my good Lord. That is not a quick answer. Okay. The TLDR it's called Lustmord. And it is a full-length heavy metal opera about Jack the Ripper.
Okay.
It's See? Actually finished. I'm just trying to get it into pre-production.
That sounds like another episode down the line.
or three or four or five. It's a pretty long opera.
All right, so what we're going to do now is we're going to fade off into the evening. I have three more tracks for you here on episode 712. Susie, I want to thank you for hanging out with me.
Thanks so much, Bill. It was so much fun being here tonight.
And don't go anywhere yet. So the last three tracks are For Those in Question and their song Rust, and then Neostem, Shut Me Up. And we're going to end things with Seethe Circles. See, we're going around in a circle. Did you get it?
I got it. I totally got it.
And like I said, don't forget to check out the next three questions in the song episode featuring Patrick Asith. We are renaming that episode to, I think, what did I say, 543 questions to 2,132 songs, because he's on every song that it pops up on my timeline. next week here on the PA Rock Show, it is Shattered. We're going to be talking about their upcoming release there as well. So once again, this is for those in question, Neosim and C.
To my head.